A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Matthew McKay is a clinical psychologist, a professor of psychology at the Wright Institute, co-founder of the Haight-Ashbury Psychological Services, founder of the Berkeley CBT Clinic, and co-founder of the Bay Area Trauma Recovery Clinic, which serves low-income clients. He has authored and co-authored a number of books, 40-plus, including the Relaxation and Stress Reduction Workbook, and is the most recent one, Lessons from the Afterlife. Matthew, welcome back. How have you been?
Been good. It's great to speak with you again, George.
Last time we were on, about 3 years ago, we were talking about your work, The Luminous Landscape of the Afterlife. I had a great time with you.
That's right. We were talking about that, and Jordan pretty much wrote that book, and in it he was describing, you know, the spirit world in detail and what to expect and how to prepare for the transition. But now he has something new. He wants to really take a look at, to explain the purpose of the physical universe, you know, these planets we live on and why we come here. So he's got a whole new thing that he wants to share with people.
Explain to our new listeners, Matthew, who Jordan is.
So Jordan is my son. 15 years ago, he was bicycling home from work. He was attacked on the street. Four men attacked him, probably to try to steal his bicycle. There was a tremendous physical fight that ensued. Eventually, he turned and moved away from them. They shot him in the back. He died on the street. Wow. And what happened, of course, to me is what happens to anyone who loses someone they love deeply. I had this tremendous need to know, did Jordan still exist? And if so, was he okay? And that set me on this journey to find him. And it began with, you know, going to mediums and learning what they could tell me, although that was uncomfortable and it felt like I wasn't part of a conversation. I was just hearing from him through them. And so I sought him in other ways. I went to see Dr. Alan Botkin in Chicago, who had discovered something called induced after-death communication, which is a variant of EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which I use with my clients. I'm a psychologist. I work with trauma, and I use EMDR. And so he had accidentally fallen into a small variant of the protocol. I went to Chicago. I experienced induced after-death communication. And for the first time since Jordan's death, I heard his voice. He was there. He was in the room. And he was telling me the things that I deeply needed to know. I'm with you. I love you. I'm watching over you. and I'm good. I'm in a good place. I'm safe and happy. Well, that made a big difference for me. I felt some of the grief lifting, but I still had this tremendous need to have a conversation, not just a one-way experience, but to have a conversation, to be able to ask him questions, to be able to explore things with him. And so I consulted the late Ralph Metzner, who was a specialist in the afterlife.
Yeah.
He taught me how to do channeled communication, and that is what opened the door for me finally to be able to talk to Jordan. And I've had hundreds of conversations with him through channel communication that have, you know, been profound and meant so much to me. The things, you know, he answered so many questions. He's blown my mind. He's described things that I had no knowledge of or never prepared to be able to understand until these communications. So it's been an extraordinary journey with him. And this latest book is his attempt to, you know, explain why we have this physical universe. Why are we here? What are we doing here? What's this all about? And so it's made a real impact on me. The other thing that also that he's wanting to do is teach something called deep knowledge meditation. And it's so people can connect to their own soul knowledge, their higher self, their accumulated soul wisdom. And this meditation will allow them to actually connect to that. It's part of our energy, our soul energy always lives in the afterlife. And even though we come here and part of our soul energy enters these bodies, and we have amnesia, we can't remember all of our past lives or any of the experiences in the afterlife, the part of this is always there in the afterlife. And we can communicate to that part that has full awareness and memory of all of our past lives, all of what we've learned in the spirit world. And so it's possible to use this communication to actually connect to the part of us that remembers everything.
Matthew, when you first made the contact with Jordan, how did you react?
Well, the experience of the IADC, the induced after-death communication with Botkin, I was flabbergasted. I was overwhelmed to hear his voice and to hear the things that he said to me. When I learned how to do channel communication, it was profoundly moving to me because he was saying things. I could feel his love. I could feel him in my body. And I could and he was saying things that I had never imagined before and were, you know, not just enlightening, but mind-blowing. And so that those early experiences were full of emotion, full of love, and full of discovery for me.
Did it calm you down?
Yes, because what I learned was that Jordan was just a thought away. I hadn't lost him. Death doesn't end the love and the relationship that we have. In fact, the love and the relationship was as strong as ever. And I could make contact with him anytime I wanted to. And so it changed my whole understanding of death. And what it did is it recreated or re-established my relationship with him. And it continues all these 15 years. We talk at least once a week. We have, and those conversations can be varied. He can advise me, he can guide me. But also, he can tell me amazing things about the universe and our role within it. So it's been an experience that has changed my understanding of what death is and what relationship and love is in the face of death.
Who initiates the initial contact, Matthew? Jordan or you?
Well, typically, I will establish contact with him. I sit at a desk that's familiar and feels safe, and there's a little ritual I go through. I could describe that if anybody's interested, because it's pretty easy to channel. Almost anybody can channel, and I've taught hundreds of people to do it. So I can initiate the contact with a small ritual, but it's not uncommon for Jordan to start a conversation with me spontaneously. And oftentimes he will start talking to me when I'm about to do something really stupid. And he will speak and say, "Wait, don't do that," or "Wait a minute," or "Do this instead." And so often as he will initiate, but he'll initiate when I'm involved in something that's, you know, kind of heading in the wrong direction.
What does your wife, Jude, think of your contact?
Well, she's very grateful for it. I read to her all of the things that he says, all of the communications that come from him. She makes contact with him in a different way. She feels his presence in a different way. She feels it in her body. She feels she has an awareness of him. And he communicates to her telepathically, but not in this channeled communication process. So she's grateful for it, but she has her own path to him.
Now explain what the deep knowledge meditation is and how can people access that?
Okay. So it's actually fairly simple. It starts with a question. You want to ask a question and just begin with, you know, and the question could be anything, you know, like, you know, should I, you know, should I invest in some kind of new enterprise or not? Or the question could be, you know, what's the nature of the divine? What is God? In other words, it could go from the sublime to the very simple and earthbound. Any question you want to ask, you can ask your higher self, the part of your soul that's always in the spirit world. So what you do is you begin by bringing your attention down to your diaphragm, to your breath, the center of your life, and just bring all of your attention to that part of your body. And as you observe your breath, you simply note it. On the in-breath, you say to yourself, "In." On the out-breath, you say, "Out." And you just note the in and the out of your breath. Just continue to watch your breath. And when thoughts show up, notice the thought as soon as you can, and then bring your attention back to your breath. Thoughts always do show up, that's okay, but as soon as they do, as soon as you notice them, bring your attention back to the breath. Now, after a little while, you'll find your mind starting to slow down, and you're going to find that there's a kind of a quietness and an openness that you begin to feel, and that's where the channel can open to your higher self, to your soul that's always in the spirit world.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Matthew, where would you say Jordan is? Where is his soul? Where is his consciousness? Where is he?
Well, his consciousness is typically in the spirit world, although it could move around in the spirit world, and his consciousness can come to Earth, and he can move his consciousness to Earth at any time. In fact, he can move his consciousness to any planet in the universe and observe it. So the consciousness of souls can move instantly, kind of wherever they direct it. His consciousness can be in the spirit world, and he can be involved with his soul group there. He can be involved in learning. He can be reviewing the Akashic record. He can be learning some of his spiritual career work, which has a lot to do with guidance, guiding. But he can also bring his awareness right here, right? And he's, in fact, is right here, right now with me, helping me with this interview.
Giving you pointers, right?
He does. He gives me pointers. And also, he helps me with my clients. There are times when I'm at a loss and I'm not sure really what to do or where to go with a client. I'll ask him, and he'll have something to say, which is almost universally helpful. So he can be present. His consciousness can come to me at any time. I can ask for it, and I can open the door by just simply thinking of him. I can ask him a question. His consciousness will come to me. Consciousness, once we leave our bodies, is very fluid, and it can move around instantly simply by the intention to go somewhere. We don't have to rely on legs and the effort of muscles to do any movement. Consciousness moves simply by intention. Consciousness says, I want to go here, and it's there. It's there instant. And that's how Jordan can show up here.
What does he think of God? Does that subject ever come up?
Yes, it does. And it's come up in ways that have kind of have been very different. You know, I grew up and went to Catholic school, and I had a picture of God, you know, as little, you know, perfect and all powerful and has always existed, and sits in the seat of judgment and evaluates whether we're good or bad and whether we're going to go to heaven and hell, and all of that. None of it is true according to Jordan's descriptions to me. When he talks about the divine, he says that, you know, that God actually has not always existed. God evolved out of primal energy and eventually into light, and then the light became self-aware. And so God or the divine or all whatever you want to call it, has not always existed. And God and all continues to grow and evolve. And so it's not perfect. It's continuing to evolve as a consciousness. The other thing that was different that he explains to me is that we are all God. All of the humans, the souls, have been created by all, but they also are part of all. We are God. And so that is a very different picture than I got growing up in Catholic school. We can't be cast out. We can't be judged. we can't be sent to some purgatory or hell, because we are God, and we're always going to be God, and we're always going to be with God. So it's, again, it's a very different picture. There's no judgment whatsoever. And as God continues to grow and evolve, we do that right alongside of God. And in fact, God sends us, the divine sends us to these physical places, these planets, and in this case, on Earth, a very difficult planet with lots of pain, sends us here to learn things. And everything we learn then gets uploaded to all and becomes part of the knowledge of all. So we are on a very special, sacred mission here. Everything we learn, all the pain that we go through, all the struggle we go through, all the things that we encounter and help us evolve and grow, all of that then gets uploaded and is part of the divine. So from Jordan's point of view, you know, the divine is continuing to evolve, and we are in this coming to Earth and going through these processes of entering bodies and living a life in order to help God grow.
Do you ever miss him physically, Matthew?
Yes, I do, very much. And I'm, there's a corner right near a restaurant. It was the last place I ever ate with him, the last place I ever saw him, last place I hugged him. I can't even go by that wow. street. I can't go by it because it's just, it hurts too much. And I do miss him. But I guess I want to say, I miss the physical Jordan. I miss seeing him grow and evolve, and he'd be 39 now, and he died at 23. I miss seeing all of the things that he will not be able to have and experience in his life. And I miss holding him and hugging him. And so that's very deep. And sometimes that pain just wells hugely in me. But
did they ever catch and convict the murderers?
No, they didn't. They claim that they know who did it, and that person is actually incarcerated for a different crime. But they have never gotten enough evidence to convict him. So he is in prison, but there's been no justice as far as what happened to Jordan.
What's the greatest lesson you have learned from Jordan?
Yeah, the greatest lesson. I think the lesson that's been most important for me personally in my life is what Jordan has taught me about love. And what he's taught me is that love is not an emotion, it's action. It's what we do. And he taught me to commit myself every morning to have at every moment of choice, to bring it to every moment of choice, love, and have love be the basis of everything I choose.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, guys. Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.